Evening, everybody. Okay, I sent out some pages on the Bedikas Chametz. Okay, this is a sefer called Mincha Ketana, and it's modeled after the Minchas Chinuch, but it talks about 20 mitzvos midrabanan. Okay, rabbinic mitzvos. Mitzvos that are not mentioned specifically in the Torah, although some of them might have disputes. Some of them might have disputes where someone holds that something is a doraisa, someone holds that something is a drabanan. In fact, our mitzvah is one of them. There are some poskim that hold that to check for chametz and to destroy the chametz is one big mitzvah, and that it's a Torah mitzvah. You have to think of the lumdus. Checking for chametz doesn't sound like a mitzvah chiyuvis. It sounds like a mitzvah kiyumis. Let me explain. Mitzvah chiyuvis is like tefillin. All men have to wear tefillin every day. A mitzvah kiyumis is tzitzis. If your garment has four corners, then you have to put on tzitzis. But if your garment doesn't have four corners, then you don't. But we still, the Gemara says in the Sefer Menachos that we should try to make sure that even if we're not naturally wearing such a garment, that we should put one on so that we can fulfill the mitzvah, right? We don't want to lose such a beautiful mitzvah. But still, someone can go an entire lifetime without ever putting up a mezuzah and not miss a mitzvah if...
He moves out every 30 days.
Or he lives in a cave, or he lives outdoors. He doesn't have a house, right? There's no mitzvah to put up a ma'akeh unless you have a roof, where people walk from one roof to another. So a ma'akeh is a mitzvah kiyumis, not a mitzvah chiyuvis. You get it? This is the machlokus between the Rambam and the Ramban about living in Israel. Ramban holds that living in Israel is a mitzvah chiyuvis, we're chayav to live in Israel. The Rambam understands it to be a mitzvah kiyumis. This mitzvah helps us do other mitzvahs, it's not. He doesn't list it as one of the 613 mitzvahs. So too, bedikas chametz is not a mitzvah unless the burden is to know that you don't have chametz. If you're not sure, you have to check. But if you know you did not bring chametz into this place, and ostensibly there are no mice or weasels that drag the chametz there, right? So if you know you didn't bring chametz, of course you don't have a mitzvah to check there. Certainly shouldn't make a bracha upon checking there.
And the most widely disregarded teachings of the Talmud, yeah, that you don't have to do dika where there's no chametz, where there's no chametz to throw out there.
Right. So the Ramah does mention the idea of putting out 10 small pieces in the place where you'll find them. But Machzis a shekel to the Magen Avraham, and everybody warned, don't just look for those 10. If you just look for those 10, then that might be a bracha levatol. The mitzvah is bedikas chametz, not metzias chametz. Right? The mitzvah is to search for it, and agav these 10, so you know that you you have something to look for. And then there's usually a monitor to make sure that you don't forget where they were placed. Okay? So where else do we see a mitzvah to check for things? So this sefer, the Mincha Ketana, says, it comes from the mitzvah in the Gemara to check for tola'im, to check certain foods, or to check certain vegetables, romaine lettuce, and other things, to check for small worms or small insects. There was a problem, remember, recently that some fish had grown worms on the inside. Others said, no, if it's whatever a fish eats is no longer considered worms. It's digested in the fish. Yeah, but the fish was caught right after, and then these were not digested. They were growing outside of the stomach. Right? So that was a question.
So what about the lungs of the animal?
That's about to get into that. Yeah, you have to do a bedika for the lungs of an animal. So where do these bedikas? What's the cause for such a bedika? And let's see how it might or might not apply to bedikas chametz. Because we make certain assumptions. That assumption is called a chazaka, right? Now, some things don't ever get into an assumption because they have a natural reisa. A reisa means that the assumption has been weakened by a situation, reya from ra, situation that weakens the assumption, right? When you open up a Sefer Torah, right? If you open up a Sefer Torah that someone has a question here?
Yeah, did you say that we're not obligated to do Birkat Chametz?
No, the question is it an obligation from the Torah or an obligation from the Rabbana? That's the question. Of course, it's not obligated. The first mission of Masech Tzachim. Or the question is it a mitzvah chiyuvis or a mitzvah kiyumis? If it's a mitzvah chiyuvis, then ostensibly the week before Pesach, you have to make sure you buy a Kit Kat or some pretzels and put it out someplace and go look for it. But if you know, let's say someone is gluten-free and went the whole year without eating chametz, and he never brought any chametz to his house, he doesn't have to do a bedika, right? Okay. Now, the actual looking for chametz, we call, the Rabbanon say that the Jews should busy themselves for not just the night before Pesach, but for some time, some weeks, right after Purim maybe, with the eradication of chametz. Now, we all know we all have crumbs all over the place. We eat Cheerios, and we have Wheaties. But if you know that you did not bring any chametz into a particular place, right? So if it's a mitzvah chiyuvis, you've got to go out and put chametz someplace so that you know you had it, so you look for it. Right? Or more likely, because chametz is a mitzvah kiyumis. This is why, imagine this. This is why if you can train a monkey to vacuum your chametz, let's say you have chametz, you live in one room, and there's chametz all over the rug. Does a Jew, can you get a Gentile to clean up all that chametz? Of course you can. It's not a mitzvah saguf that my guf has to do. Right? Can I set up that parapet around my roof? Do I have to put it up, or can I get a Gentile to put it up? And then there's also another element of whether hiddur mitzvah applies to these things. Do you have to use a beautiful vacuum cleaner to clean for Pesach? Do you have to use the most beautiful feather and the beautiful spoon to scoop up the chametz? No. Okay, these things are all just get the thing done, right? How you do it, who does it, right? Just get the thing done, all right? So the question of checking the lungs of an animal in order to assume it's not treif, to check the leaves of vegetables to make sure it's not infested with worms or bugs. Another question that has arisen recently is based on, and see if you could figure out the statistics, but there's a new object that's out there that it screens Sifrei Torah. Right, it's amazing how it works. I've seen it work. It like rolls the Torah by itself. It's a machine that sits on top of the Torah, and it rolls the Torah by itself, and makes up a quick picture of every. It does it slowly. Quick picture of every column of the Torah. It takes a few hours to do the whole Torah, And then it instantaneously gives you an overview and the description of whether the Torah is pasul or kosher. Has anybody ever heard of this?
Yeah, I have.
It's computerized Torah checking. However, caution, it does not check for a more common reason to pasul a Torah, which is called a nifsak, where one letter touches the other letter. It's not talking about that, where the aleph, the leg of the aleph, doesn't quite meet the body of the aleph, right? Okay, so it doesn't check for that. It checks for one thing, which is, of course, a thing that was born with the Torah. It checks for missing letters, possibly extra letters. Okay, can't make this up, but I remember the family. It was Ben-Zion Fuchs. He had twin boys. And the bris was Parshas Tazria. And the Baal Koreh, it was obviously a Monday or Thursday, the Baal Koreh is reading Adam ki yeh be'or b'saros se'eso sapachas o b'heres. And I could see he was agitated. He says, well, what's this? And he saw that the word Adam was written twice.
Wow.
But like Ish Ishman, Adam, Adam, ki yeh be'or b'saro, which was amazing. It was on the day where there was a bris of twins. Adam, Adam. Right? So obviously that can be corrected. You cross off the other Adam and you write this Adam bigger. Well, you maybe cross over, as long as you don't have to cross out God's name, you cross out four words and then you write them bigger a little bit, right? So the Torah's, I'm just flabbergasted. I don't know, anybody ever hear what percentage of Torah's has at least one extra or missing letter?
Since they got this, it actually has been high since they've got this technology.
Very high.
Just kind of embarrassing
It's more than 50%. Well, more than 50%.
Yeah.
Now, if that's not a reisa, that's a real reisa. That means that there is a significant amount of Torahs that ought to have bedika before you use them. And yet this technology has not required that. Torahs maintain, each individual Torah maintains its cheskes kashrus, not to need a bedika. However, certain lettuces, certainly at some time of year, have a chazaka that it does need bedika. You have
every year?
To check the leaves. Yeah, in the summertime in America, it's muchsak betoloim. Not so much in the winter, though. So there are some things that have a built-in reyasa. Right? Every year, what's the statistic? Approximately out of every 100 cows that are shechted in slaughterhouses in America, how many end up being glad kosher? Meaning after they check out the lungs, it's found to be smooth. Now, okay.
Like 5%? 10%?
A little more. It's more than that. It's about 40%. So, but it's a good majority. Don't get that cut, right? So on that, of course, the Gemara says you have to always check the lungs because it comes, the cow was born with a reisa, basically, right? The chazaka, the assumption of it being kosher, a glat kosher, has been weakened by these facts, right? So when you see certain slaughterhouses in certain places in America where 95 out of 100 could get through as glat kosher, those must be super animals. Or the people making the judgment at the end of the line are being too lenient, right? So far we saw about four or five things that need bedika and some things that don't. All right, now there's the thing that needs bedika most is something that comes with a natural reisa each and every month as a woman when she's expecting the next nida. Right, but until she feels hargoshes haguf, the Gemara says she has a cheskes tahara. But it's a very natural chazaka that's going to change. right, back and forth, right? So these are all famous examples of bedikos. And along comes this element. Now, again, unless you know you're gluten-free, you never bring any chametz in it. Everybody has a reisa. Everybody's got a reisa. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Everybody has one. You have a guest over your house. I know, you know, since the last kid moved out, it's a lot easier to maintain. You know, it takes 17 hours to clean a room. Now it takes, a half hour, an hour. And you had to do it close to Pesach because inevitably one of your kids is going to take a pretzel into the room that was clean.
Right.
Like that weasel in the beginning of Pesach. Right. So because of this reyasa, because people so blatantly and readily take chametz anywhere, so that's why we have to make ourselves make the bedikah. Right? So it's called ischazik isura. The isur has made its, the assumption here is not that the room is chametz free, but that the room has chametz in it, unless we do something about it. Okay? So there's a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos about why we need to do the bedika. Rashi says so that we don't violate b'ayroi b'ayimatzei. We don't violate owning chametz on Pesach. Let's check it, make sure that there's no Kit Kat behind the piano. Let's make sure that I don't have a bag of pretzels in my desk drawer. Let me make sure because I do these things inadvertently. Maybe I have a bagel in my jacket pocket, right? So let's make sure, check all over the place to make sure we don't violate b'ayroi b'ayimatzei. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos assumes that everybody by that time was already making what's called a bitul chametz, right? So notice that the bracha is not asher gishon mitzvah tzivanu al bedikas chametz, because not everybody holds that that's a mitzvah. You don't have to put up a mezuzah if you live in a cave. You don't have to put up a ma'akeh unless you have a roof. You don't have to check for chametz unless you know you had chametz, right? So how can you make a bracha on such a thing? Ah, but you can make a bracha al biur chametz, because this is the beginning of the process of tashbisu, getting rid of the chametz, right? And there's different types of bitul. The poskim all agree that the best bitul is to say the word hefker. I'm making this hefker ke'afra da'ara. Of course, it's the best thing to do that as close as possible to the time where chametz actually becomes hefker, right? Chametz is one of those interesting prohibitions in the Torah. You can't own it, halachically, I'll define that in a minute, but you can own it enough to violate b'ayroi b'ayimatzei. What is the benchmark of ownership? Always to one of two things.
If you have some legal responsibility for it.
That's a good double comma definition.
Can you makadish a woman with it?
Correct. Can a man makadish a woman with this value? Right? So orla, by that definition, kilayim, by that definition, it doesn't have value because you can't give it to hektish and you can't makadish a woman with it. Right?
If I steal your chametz, well, not your, but during the week, during the Pesach, can you have a claim against me?
That's the famous Gemara in Baba Kama. Hare chamtso shalcho lefanecha. It says, just put it in front of him. He has no claim against him. Yoser mizu, if he stole the chametz before Pesach, then after Pesach, he could just put it down and say, here's your chametz. But can he make hektish? Is it his to mekadesh? Now, chametz actually, since it's a Shemitah year, let me just get in a shtachin a little bit about Shemitah, is that Shemitah has an interesting chumrah. During Pesach, if I give a woman $1,000 worth of chametz and I say, Harayat Mekudeshes Li B'chamek Zu Kedas Moshe Yisrael, or Begluska Zu Kedas Moshe Yisrael, and it's worth more than Shavu Pruta. So we're not married because chametz has no value during Pesach, right? But if I would sell this chametz, if I would sell this $1,000 of chametz, and with that $1,000 either buy a ring or barter the $1,000 for a ring, and give her this ring and say harayat mekudeshes li b'tabaso, she is mekudeshes. Because chametz does not grab onto its values. It's called in Hebrew, eino tofes domeha. Chametz does not grip, does not take hold of its value. Right? If I sell the chametz, it's no longer forbidden in Hana. Right? If I barter the chametz for something else. Okay, the only thing that the exception to that is shvius. A Shemitah product. If I, Shemitah products have certain rules about it, not wasting it, not engaging in schora with it, in commerce. So the halacha is that if I sell a Shemitah product, what I sold it for becomes the same rule as a Shemitah product.
Why isn't that true? If I sell the chametz, I'm getting hanah from chametz. So why isn't it attached to the, in the same way with the shvius, why isn't it attached to whatever I got for the chametz?
It's interesting how you're asking this question, because the Gemara just assumes that the only reason why we say the opposite, that it is tofes, it's damim, is because of a specific pasuk regarding that mitzvah. Which means that if your halacha, whether it's orla, kilayim, chametz, does not share this particular limud, it's not a binyanav, does not share, then it doesn't toface its dhamim. It's not a natural idea. The idea is that some things do toface their dhamim because of a certain zeris akasov. And if your iser does not have this element to it, tied to it, then it is toh. I don't mean to say that you can necessarily sell these things. You're not allowed to sell orla or kilayim or petach hamor or oros levuvim, those other things that I mentioned in the Mishnah and Kiddushin, which cannot be used to mekadesh. Okay. What's the nafkamina, whether it's doraisa or drabanon? The Mincha Ketana says that when something is a doraisa, you have to stop what you're doing in order to do that thing. If something is a drabanon, you don't. This is sort of academic. He does mention this difference that if someone's eating a meal and the time to do bedikas chametz comes in, if it's a doraisa, you have to interrupt your meal and take care of and at least start bedikas chametz first. If it's a drabanon, just finish your meal. Okay? All right? Okay, whether Bedikas Chametz is a Doraisa Drabanan he shows in these pages, there's a big machlokas in the Rishonim, and he talks about the basis of these machlokas.
But why then would we say you have a Seder, you have to sacrifice that in order to do Bedikas Chametz first?
Like this is the night before the Seder, so it's. Yeah, I mean, you even now, normative halacha says don't eat anything then, don't even learn then.
Right.
And on the night of Hanukkah and the night of Bedikas Chametz, I don't learn between Mincha and Maariv. At least on Hanukkah, we sing Maariv's Tzur, we light the menorah, but on the night of the Bedikas Chametz, I just... you know, we make sure that we don't daven Maariv before Shkia, but I just teach one quick halacha. We're not going to learn tonight. that's a halacha. Not going to learn tonight because, you know, I want to show everyone should know not to delay the Bedikas Chametz, go home the first chance you get. Now, here's an interesting thing. The Mincha Ketana compares the Bedikas Chametz to a Shochet, who's doing a lot of shchitas, at the same time. Shochet shechts 500 chickens. It would be crazy to consider that he has to make another bracha over each chicken. He makes the first bracha. Al Shechita. Right? And then all the other chickens are grandfathered in the bracha of the first. Okay? Now, preferably, this shochet should not have any hesech hadas. Right? He shouldn't. If he has to go to the bathroom or something, he should just have in mind, I'm coming right back. Right? When a man takes off his talus to go to the bathroom, he doesn't make another bracha when he puts it back on. He intends to put it right back on. You take off a mezuzah to check. If the mezuzah stays off for 4 days, yeah, or even 1 day, then the person who puts it back has to make a bracha. But if your intention is to put it right back, or you're putting up four mezuzahs together in different doors in the house, of course, one bracha suffices for everything. So even if you have to check your house, you want to check your car, your classroom, your office. So as long as there's no hesech hadas and the person intends to do all these as part of a continuum and part of a one process, then one bracha suffices for all. But if it's done on different days, what's the svar of doing it on different days? Well, if you have, some people have different properties, right? They have a house upstate and then they go there the last time on a certain date before Pesach. So that the night before you leave, the last time you're there, that's when you do the Bedikas Chametz, but without a bracha. Bracha for Bedikas Chametz is only ever made the night everyone else is doing it. That's this coming Thursday night.
Wait, even if it was like you did it 3 days in advance because you're going away?
Yeah.
You don't make a bracha then?
No. The bracha is only on the night where there's the tikkun to make it. Full disclosure, the Prichadish disagrees with that. He holds that as long as it's within a month, because that's when we're already starting to study the laws of Pesach. But normative halacha does not pass in that way. Mishnah Berurah says you only make the bracha on the night where everyone's doing it.
Wouldn't they want to discourage the shochet from shachting 300 chickens with no interruption? Or even doing all the... he has several properties doing it together because he's going to start getting lazy and tired. And
I was just saying, but Derech HaFlaga, I think. I don't know what the practice is. If he does 20 at a time, 15 at a time, and he also has to cover the if it's chickens,
the dump, right?
Blood, right. Dust, yeah. This week's parsha. Right. So, but these are examples of long drawn out mitzvahs. Say al nitzilas sidayim. Okay, what I said this bracha for, I'm about to do, and I'm finished. Mitzvah's done. Al hamila. Okay, we did the circumcision. Yeah, okay, he's got to work things out a little bit, maybe, but that's done. It's finished. But here I'm making a bracha, right? Al bir chametz, and it's ongoing, right? So some families have the minhag of putting out those 10 pieces, making the bracha, and then looking for those 10, and then continuing to look a short time after that. And that's hopefully by Thursday night, everyone is mostly turned over by then, right? Hitchens turned over.
If somebody is tired and concerned about safety, do they have to use a candle?
A flashlight is better.
Oh, good, good, okay.
Rav Moshe Feinstein says that a flashlight is preferable to a candle. And the halacha says that if you use a Havdalah candle, it's you have to make the bracha again. Okay, this sefer says that if you used a Havdalah candle and you didn't light any fires or anything, then you are yotzei.
If you light a Hanukkah candle, then you make which bracha?
Regular bracha, I'll be a chametz, because a chametz candle only has one wick. There's just one wick on it.
Oh.
And all these bedikas chametz kits, you've seen them,
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They all come with one Hanukkah candle. You ever notice?
Yeah.
So that's a good thing to use because it's easier to hold and it's just one wick. Why is Abdullah candle possible even b'di'evit? Because the Abdullah candle has so many wicks, we're worried that out of fear for those wicks lighting a large flame and catching onto the curtains or spreading out to the bed sheets and stuff. So. Yeah. So even if he successfully did the bedika with a Havdalah candle, the Mishnah Berurah paskens that he has to do it again. Because it's very likely that because he knew that it was such a high flame and so many wicks together, he didn't check properly. Right? But the flashlight would resolve the best way. You're getting a nice stream of a light, and you don't have the fear of lighting something.
The Rav also paskened that a flashlight was preferable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so another interesting chakira he mentions here is that a father has to, if he has young children at home, he has to make sure to mevatel chametz that they have.
And would they own it?
Well, no, because a katan has no ownership.
Right. So.
So, but it's there in the house, and he doesn't know about it because it's in the pencil case of the katan, or it's in the knapsack of the katan. You know.
Oh, I see.
So, right, he has to be sure that he has in mind. The ikur b'rishusi means that this chametz that my cotton child, right? Then he has a chakira. Is the chiyuv to get rid of chametz to have a house without chametz, or for those who live in the house to get rid of the chametz? And he says the nafkamina is very famous gemara in Bava Metzia and Maseches Psochim is if you rent an apartment for the week, who has the responsibility to do the bedika? Does the one renting the apartment to you have to check it before you move in so that you have a chametz-free apartment? Or does he have the right to just leave it as is with all the chametz around, with the crumbs and that? You clean it up.
Well, but it's who's... Then the question, like, when you rent it, what have you rented? Have you taken ownership over the chametz in the apartment?
Right, so there is a convention, so to say, of anybody who rents out a house or a hotel room or something, that there's some semblance of a neat situation that the person is moving into. But when all is said and done, bedikas chametz, like mezuzah, is chovas hadar. It's the chovas hadar, the chova of the one living there. And here is the nafkamina. If the owner of the apartment gave you the keys before the time of bedikas chametz, then you have to check. But if the owner gives over the keys Friday morning or Friday afternoon, then of course the owner has to check. He has to actually do a bedika there because it was in his possession at the time. You can't rely on the fact that some other Jew is going to be living there.
So if I broke into the apartment while the person's away, even though I'm legally occupying it, would I still be considered the dar?
What's the question? You?
If I know the family went away. They were going to be there at Pesach, so they didn't do any bedika. I break into the apartment. I'm living there for that week.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting question. Also, it's a Gemara Baba Kama that if someone squats in someone else's land, and it's land that was not generating any income. He wasn't charging any rent for it. So this guy was actually performing a service. I mean, you used the word stolen there. He stole his way in there. I'm just saying, no, he's squatting there. He's living there. The Gemara says he's doing a service because ostensibly, it looks to someone else on the street, that it's inhabited.
If you came home and found somebody stranger in your apartment, I don't think you'd think he did you a big service.
Well, it because this is obviously a case of Yir Shalom Midas. The owner of the house doesn't know that someone is squatting in his, in his home.
Well, just that, do we separate out completely any legal right to the property from just residency? Like, residency is all that matters. We don't care about any legal any right of possession whatsoever.
Yeah, there is, that's what we mean, Mechovas Hador. The resident has the, right? So the question here is, like, if you make a shliach, or obviously if a Gentile is doing it for you, there's no one not making a bracha or anything. But here, the question that the Mincha Ketana asks is that she's mashma she'ikar a mitzvah who leva'er mi beso. Right, so you have to mevar from the house, but also, you know, he doesn't like nafkamina. Of course, you know you're going to clean from your car or from the other places, but if you clean in these places, do you make a bracha? So the normative halacha is that, let's say someone is flying out to Florida on Wednesday and he has a car, but he's leaving the car in a garage for the 2 weeks in New York. So the last time he's going to be in his car is Tuesday before he leaves, and he wants to check. He wants to look around. You see in the glove compartment, they usually keep candy bars. So some of it maybe I'll sell, but I want to make sure that this car is Mike does a Kenyan chotzer for me, could acquires for me, and I don't want to own what's in the car. When the normative halacha is that when you check these things outside of your house, you check it without a bracha. You don't make a bracha. Okay. Now, please keep in mind, and to draw to a close with this, is that the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz is the bi'ur. You don't say Asher Kedishan mitzvah Sovet Sivano al Bedikas Chametz. Right? The mitzvah is to burn what I find. So there's two stages of the mitzvah. Okay, the Bedikas are like a machshir for the bi'ur. And it's the completion of the bi'ur. Okay? The mitzvah is to do the checking, because there's like the tolaim and like the lungs, you know, there's a very strong, not just a mute hamatsuhi, but there's a strong umdana that chametz was brought into this place. I close with a fascinating chakira of Chassam Sofer, who discusses the mitzvah. You see, there's two stages of the mitzvah, bedika, biur. So we did this when we did our very first mitzvah in the Minchas Chinuch, I think over a year ago, when the Minchas Chinuch talked about Shitas HaRambam, about the mitzvah of Piri of Arivya. Right? There's obviously two stages. And the Rambam's Lashon is very, very interesting. He says, Chayav Odom La'asok the Piri of Arivya. There's probably an easier way to just say Chayav Adam to propagate a boy and a girl to replace, you know, I don't know. He doesn't say that. He says Chayav Adam la sok b'piri of Arivya. He could have cited some different Gemaras, like the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos says that one of the questions they ask us and when we leave from this world to the next is Osakta b'piri of Arivya. Or when the Gemara tells Chizkiyahu in Daf Yud and Masechet Brachos, you're going to die and you won't live. And he says, why? What did I do wrong? Because Kiloa sucked up a period of Arivya. Hashem gave him 15 more years of life, and his son Menashe was only 13 when he became king. So Mistama, when Hashem told him that, he had no children yet. The reason why Yishayahu gives him for why he's going to die in Brachas Daf Yud. But the mitzvah is not to have a boy and a girl. That's up to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? Minchas Chinuch wants to say that the Rambam considers the mitzvah is la'asok b'piri v'rivya, and if Hashem is good, kind enough to us, then Hashem will be the third partner and make a human being come out of this. Right. So, but it leads into some very interesting concepts. One, it explains why there's no bracha on the mitzvah, because the mitzvah isn't complete. It's sort of, you know, you can say Asher Kedusham Mitzvah Tzivanu Al Asek Bepiri Verivya. I don't know, but it's a mitzvah that has stages, and therefore the this is the Chasam Sofer. It's possible to, maybe according to the Rambam, to fulfill the mitzvah of Piri Verivya in other ways, like with, you know, to help with PUA or organizations that help with fertility issues or adoption or things like that. Okay, so too, just as our mitzvah comes in stages, there's the Bedika leading to the Biur. Of course, the main point, the basic Piri Verivya, is what comes down the line. But that the mitzvah takes on different stages. Okay? And then we close with the Tosfos, who disagrees with all this and says that the problem isn't Bayar Bayar Matzeh. The problem is Shema Yimtze Gluska Yafeh.
Right.
You may find, because when something is permitted the rest of the year, like wine to a nazir, it's usually permitted. So when it becomes usher, then the wine to the nazir is going to become very, very usher. We're going to create, even the Torah creates many safeguards. And the same for nida, right? This is something usually mutter. So when it becomes usher, the Torah creates many harchakos and the rabbis even more. And then comes Pesach, which explains all of our, amazing protections and mitzvahs and hagim. We don't even eat milk products because maybe 1/1,000,000th of chametz got into the milk of the cow, and it's not bottled. But that's amaratzis. Chametz is bottled b'shishim before Pesach. It's only during Pesach. So don't buy milk during Pesach, unless it says kosher l'Pesach. It says kosher l'Pesach means that animal was not fed any grain products right before Pesach. But otherwise, there's no problem. Okay.
Who wrote the middle text and who wrote the commentary? Like, I mean, I've seen if it's two different authors. In this, is it two different
this
authors?
This is the same author, yes. The Rosh Yeshiva of Kerem Biavne in the late 60s. He's still with us. Forgive me, his name escapes me for the minute. There's some great treatment of the Rabbanim mitzvahs, and they're all very much nogeya to our lives, as opposed to many mitzvahs in the Torah, which are not. Right? Chofetz Chaim made a list of only about 180, 190, at best 200 mitzvahs in the Torah that relate to our lives today. You know, strike out Karbanos, strike out a lot of the court cases, you know, the Sanhedrin case, and Sora Mora. Okay, all right, Chevra. I will be available the rest of the week for Mechivas Chametz in the morning and the evening. And by appointment, if you want to just call, make sure I'm in the afternoon. And everybody should have a Chag Kosher V'Sameach.
And Shkach.
Thank you very much.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for checking in.